Yes, you are Yahweh.
Praise the Lord. We serve an awesome God. He's Yahweh. He's Alpha and Omega. We thank God for this very wonderful moment that we can share together in his presence. The word of God says, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I believe that the great emphasis of God in our salvation is to grant us liberty, freedom, deliver us from the onslaught of the enemy and all the activities of the evil one. And so tonight, I am so joyed in my spirit that we are going to be revisiting a message that was preached during the first spiritual warfare conference by this great apostle, this great general of faith. Bishop Cole is such an awesome man of God. And he brought a powerful word to us during that first conference. And he's going to be back with us during the next conference. And I'm excited about what God is going to do in all of our lives as we explore the spiritual dynamics of spiritual warfare. The word of God says, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. You see, your next door neighbor is really not your enemy. It is the spirit that is operating behind them, manipulating them to attack you, to humiliate you, to bring confusion or whatever into your life. It is that spirit that we need to address. We need to love people, but we need to be violent against the powers of darkness. I mean violent. The Bible says, so the Lord Jesus says, the violent take it by force. And we're going to take the kingdom of God by force. What does it mean? You see, the kingdom of God in your life has been held back by the enemy. And you need to take it by force. You need to take it by force. You need to take it by force. We pray and declare today that that violent spirit, not against people, against the powers of darkness, so that we can take back what belongs to us, will be instilled into our spirit. That spirit of darkness that be plaguing the lives of God's people must come down, and victory must be established in every aspect of our lives. I am convinced of that. I know you are convinced of that. And I thank God that his presence is with us this very moment. But thank you for the onslaught of your Holy Spirit as you go ahead of us to demolish the powers of darkness, demolish principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that you are demolishing all of their efforts and you are bringing them to a place of absolute shame. Lord, oh God, they flee before your people. I thank you, Lord, oh God, for your word that's going to come forth tonight through your servant. Lord, oh God, as we revisit these words tonight, let this word take a hold of our hearts and help us take back our possessions in you. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to take you back to this message.
Praise the Lord.
Preached, I believe it was March the 20th. And as you listen to it, let God's goodness be revealed in your life. Bishop Archibald Cole.
God, hallelujah. What another experience in God we are going to have tonight. Last night, Archbishop Archibald Cole so thrilled our spirits with the word of God. This man of God spoke so powerfully and release so much into our lives that I believe our lives will never be the same. But I know a God that takes us higher and higher and higher. And I know today that Bishop Cole, who pastors the great work of God right there in Freetown, Sierra Leone, New Life Church International, is going to take us into another dimension by the power of the Holy Spirit tonight. And I am so clear in my spirit that you, your family, your business, your ministry, whatever it is that concerns you, will never, never again be the same.
Amen.
It will be greater yet in Hallelujah. The name of Jesus.
Yes,
Amen.
Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. Bishop, oh, how thrilled we were last night as you spoke the word of God and shared with us about the ability in God to slay giants. I know that there are giants that are dropping and there are giants that are fleeing, but whatever they do, they are all coming down.
Amen.
Destiny switchers will not succeed. We are Amen. Taking back what belongs to us. And I thank God for you today. I am so thrilled about what you're going to share with us. And man of God, oh, I'm so blessed. Thank you so very much.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure, man of God. Pleasure, right. Bishop Mike.
I'm going to let you just get to it.
Thank you very much, Bishop Mike. It's been awesome. Last night was awesome. We are still glorifying God. We know that God did what he only could do last night. And we know today is going to take it to another dimension because God operates by the law of progress from glory to glory. Hallelujah. I'm excited to partner with you, Bishop Mike Zeno, with your church, Glory and Peace Church, right here in Winnipeg, Canada, Manitoba, Canada. We are grateful to God for the great work that you're doing, for the mighty move of God under the work of your hand. We give God all the glory. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are excited to continue what was started last night, and we believe God is about to visit somebody and you will never be the same. Can we go to God in prayer? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we are truly grateful to you tonight, even as you've gathered us once again to continue to carry out the work that you've called us to do. Father, as we begin to share your word, as we enter into the realms of spiritual warfare and begin to execute certain things, thank you for this transaction to be replicated in the heavens. For what we do on this earth is reflected in the heavens. We give you the praise and we give you the glory right now. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and the people of God say, Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to start today by going to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. That will be our foundational scripture. Our foundational scripture will be Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And let's look at what God is saying to us. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. I want to read it again. It said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now the serpent. Tonight, saints of God, I want to talk to you about breaking the power of serpentine spirit. Remember that this is a spiritual warfare conference. And in a spiritual warfare conference, we deal with spirits. For Paul the apostle says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And one of those wicked spirits operating in high places is what we call the serpentine spirit. The serpentine spirit. We are not wrestling against against flesh and blood. So understand me, I'm not talking about serpent in its physical form. I'm talking about the spiritual essence of the serpent. So tonight, as I begin to expound God's word, you will begin to understand that some of the things that you have been taking for granted are powers from the realms of the serpentine spirit. So let's concede a few issues. Let's begin, first of all, tonight. Who was the serpent that came to that garden? Where did man have the assumption that the serpent is also the devil? Now, most of the time, people will say serpent is the devil. Let me give you another scripture just to establish that. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, I'll take my time and lay some foundation by teaching, and then the Lord will allow us to move into preaching. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. You see, the Bible here says, Revelation, John in Revelation says, the great dragon was cast out. And who was the great dragon? It's that old serpent that we call the devil. So you find out from this scripture that the serpent and the devil are so intrinsically connected in satanic and spiritual operations that there are times when you can call Satan the devil, you can call the devil serpent, and you can call serpent the devil. Hallelujah, somebody. Their work is so connected. But let us look at the natural attribute of the serpent. Allow me to build this foundation as I speak to you today. You know, the very, very first time we have a law of interpretation, the word of God, is called the law of first mentioned in homiletics. The law of first mention is anything you find in the scripture mentioned for the first time, the way it is mentioned, the implication, the logic, the analysis that it presents stands for the rest of the scripture. From that first time that you see that particular word or that particular issue mentioned, the implication that it brings out is what is going to run through the scripture. So for the very first time in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, when the serpent was mentioned, he was called subtle. What is subtle? Subtle is to be cunning. Subtle is to be crafty. Subtle is to be manipulative. Subtle is to be sly. It says the serpent was more subtle than any other beast or any other creature that God had created. He was subtle. So you need to understand here, when we are dealing with the devil, that Paul says we have to be careful with his schemes, his strategy. We are dealing with one of the creatures who by his natural nature has the nature of subtlety, which goes in line with what the devil needed. Was this natural attribute, take note of this, of the serpent, was it necessarily referring to Satan directly when the Bible says he was subtle? Was this reference to his subtlety? Was it to the devil or was it to the serpent as an individual creature? Let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 and answer this question. I keep building. Watch me. Follow me tonight as I build this foundation that you will be able to come with me. In Matthew chapter, come on, let's go to Matthew chapter 10, 16. Matthew 10, 16. Matthew 10, 16. It says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents. In this issue, it was specifically the serpent that Jesus described as wise, just like he was presented in Genesis as subtle. So watch this. The natural attribute of the serpent qualified him to be used by the serpent to carry out the first temptation. Which means when Satan wants to walk through someone, he checks your nature, your intrinsic nature. He checks your attributes. When he checked among all of the beasts in the field, he realized that the one that has the attribute that he can use successfully, it was the serpent because of his subtlety. Now let me make this statement, and I want you to listen to me. Every man must watch his character and his natural tendencies. Because when we don't bring our natural tendencies under the control of the Holy Spirit, know that the devil will hijack that tendency for his own pleasure. If you are a talkative person by nature and you don't bring that loquacity under the control of the Holy Spirit, he would use your mouth and your tongue to cause problem in your church, to cause problem in your family, to cause problem wherever you are. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you are a selfish person by nature, he will use that selfishness to influence good people in the church who has a heart for the vision, who give to the vision, and he will use you to begin to ask them, why is it that you're always giving? Because the devil will watch your natural tendencies, and if you don't check it out and bring it under the control of the Holy Ghost, he would use it. If I'm making sense, say amen. If you are proud and critical by nature, and you are not watchful that you bring that under the control of the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, you'll be rebellious and you'll be disloyal in your church, in your organization, in wherever you are. If you are a proud and arrogant person and you don't bring that pride and arrogance under the control of the Holy Spirit, watch it. You'll become disloyal. You'll become a troublemaker wherever you are planted. So the devil will always look for that nature before he uses a man. The reason why he was able to use Judas, the Bible says, and Satan entered into Judas. He checked among the 12 disciples. He looked at their nature and they realized that Judas had the character that he needed to use. So check out your personal character and bring it under the control of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. The second thing, as I laid up, still laying your foundation and watch me. The second thing I want you to consider is that the serpent was introduced as a beast. Now back in Genesis chapter 3, he said, now the serpent was more subtle than any other beast. As a beast. A beast is a four-footed animal. Now the serpent was more subtle than any other beast in the field. Come on, media, if you can, let me have chapter 3 verse 1. Let's look at that word. Let's highlight that word, beast. Now the serpent was more subtle than any what? Beast. Any what? Beast. Now you know that the beast is a four-footed animal like lion, like elephant. Am I making sense to anybody? Like a bear. They are all four-footed. A beast is a four-footed creature. A beast is not just any creature. It's a four-footed creature like a beast. So listen carefully. Before, at the time, because I have seen a lot of misleading and misrepresenting picture of people, they draw a serpent that was round without foot around a tree trying to tempt Eve. No, that's a major error. That's a major error. Prior to the temptation, the serpent was a beast, a four-footed creature like lion is a beast, like a tiger is a beast, like an elephant is a beast. Do not forget that. The second introduction of the serpent, look at verse 14. I wonder what's happening to media. Chapter 3, verse 14. Can you give me chapter 3, verse 14? Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. I don't know what's going on. Okay. He said, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all what? Cattle. You see that word? Cattle. And above every beast. Again, the Bible repeated the beast, but it added one more way to describe the serpent. So the serpent was like a beast, but it was also like a cattle. Now, cattle fall under domesticated creatures like the sheep, a four-footed creature, a quadruped, like the goat, a four-footed creature, a quadruped. all these animals are four-footed. Okay, media, thank you very much. All these animals are four-footed. So take note that whether the serpent was introduced as a beast or whether he was introduced as a serpent, it was a four-footed creature, because all of these beasts, including the lion, the elephant, the tiger, they are all four-footed, quadrupeds. Or whether they are cattle, the goat, the sheep, the cow, they are all four-footed. So, prior to that temptation, when the devil walked and came into that garden to tempt Eve, he did not come like a serpent that was curled. No, he came as a four-footed beast, or he came as a four-footed creature. He did not appear as a reptile. Take note of that, because it's important for you to understand why the serpent has sold out to the devil. So if the serpent came as a beast, if he came as a cattle, agree with me that he came as a four-footed creature. But remember that it was after, somebody get me, it was after the four-footed creature had sinned against God by misleading Eve into sin, that God came and cursed. Let's go back to verse 14. Verse 14, he said, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go. Upon thy belly shall thou go. Upon thy belly shall thou go. It was at this point in Genesis chapter 3. Take note of that. It was at this point in verse 14 that suddenly, take away the scriptures, and suddenly, when God released that curse, this beast, this cattle with this four-footed creature, suddenly they shrunk into his stomach and it became a reptile. When you want to know that this reptile called serpent was different from other reptiles, because if you look at the lizard, even though it's a reptile, you can still see the little legs that it runs with. That's a reptile. If you look at the iguana, it's a reptile, but you still see the little legs. But when you look at the serpent, you will not see any leg, no matter what happens. You know why? Because it was a curse. His legs shrunk into his belly. Even up till today, if you kill a serpent and you turn it over, you look, there are slits on each side, which is showing the original sign that it was a four-footed creature. Come with me. Now, if the serpent was like a beast, if it was like a cattle compared to a lion, compared to a goat or a cow, and now God has cursed it, and it has now become a footless reptile crawling on the ground, this was the reason why the serpent went into an eternal deal with Satan. That since I have now become a victim, I will now work with you. I will choose to be your partner. And that is why, ladies and gentlemen, most of us will understand that magicians deal with serpents. Witches deal with serpents. Occultic powers deal with serpents. People dream serpents at night and wake up in the morning and they see serpent bite in their hands or wherever. You know why? Because the serpent is working in partnership with Satan, with the devil himself. Come with me as I continue to carry you in front. Ladies and gentlemen, in the law of spiritual warfare, there is a law called access point and legal grounds, which means the devil cannot do anything to you except he finds an access point into your life, or he has a legal ground to afflict you. Those of you that are saved, you're sanctified, you're born again, until you give an access point, until you give a legal ground for the enemy to come and operate, he cannot do anything to you. He's legal. He's legal himself. He's legal minded. So for the serpent to have any access, somebody must give him legal ground. For him to have an access to a family, somebody in the family lineage must have given him a legal gown. For him to have access or legal gown to affect destinies, somebody must have given him an access point and a legal gown. I raise my voice as a servant of God today, and I hereby declare any access point, all of you that are listening to the sound of my voice, every access point that was given to the serpent 10 generations ago or in your bloodline, by the authority of the word of God and by the power of the blood of Jesus, may that access point be broken. May the legal gown be broken in the name of Jesus. I command the access to be sealed by the power of the blood of Jesus. Somebody say amen. I want you to, those of you that are following me, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Say, any door that was opened to the serpentine spirit in my country, in my city, in my territory, by the blood of Jesus, I declare it closed. Close. I close it and I seal it by the blood of Jesus. Somebody shout, the blood of Jesus. Say, every secret covenant with ancient serpents by ancestors, break by fire in the name of Jesus. Say, you serpentine spirit in the dream realm, today I judge you by the fire of God. I break your hold. I terminate your assignment. I cancel your mission by the fire of God. Break by fire in the name of Jesus. Right now, in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout amen. Please take your seats. Now, you know, I attended a program some time ago, and they brought a prophet, and I was ministering to the people. Now, what was strange about this servant of God is that when we are used to one thing, when you lift a prayer point, at the end of the prayer point, you say, in Jesus' name, and everybody will say, amen. But one of the observations I made, this prophet will lift a prayer point, and when the people are finished praying, the only thing he will say is, and everybody will keep quiet. And he raises another point. And he did it, and my spirit began to grieve. Because suddenly the Spirit of God made me to understand that the sound of a serpent is hiss, hiss. And so this so-called prophet must have been dealing with some serpentine spirit. And in order to give power to the serpentine spirit in the midst of that ministration, he was telling me, if you go anywhere, I command you in the name of Jesus, if you go anywhere and they give a prayer point and they cannot say in Jesus' name, and they keep telling you, refuse it, reject it, refuse it, and overrule it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Somebody say, I hear you. Now, I want to take you to a different level of observation tonight. You know, when God was about to send Moses to deliver, to redeem the people of Israel, it may shock you. One of the first things that God introduced Moses to was a serpent. It was, God is a God of purpose. It's a God of plan. He doesn't just do anything. Do you remember the discussion with God and Moses, when Moses was saying, oh, I cannot go to the people, and God said, okay, that rod in your hand, drop it on the floor. And he dropped it in the ground, and then it became a serpent, and Moses wanted to run away. And God said, hey, take it by the tail. Now, God is a God of purpose. What many people did not know is that the principality operating in the land of Egypt that was going to resist Moses was operating in the form of a serpent. So on that day when God said to Moses, drop your rod, suddenly as that rod was dropped, it got over the power of the serpentine power operating in the land of Egypt. And so when God said, take it by the tail, it was God establishing Moses' authority over the serpentine power in the land of Egypt. I stand as a servant of God. Every every principality and every power operating in your country, in the nation of Canada, in the city of Winnipeg, in whatever country you come from, by the authority of heaven, every principality and power operating by the serpentine spirit, we take the sword of vengeance, we cut off his head, we pluck out his eye, we release the Holy Ghost fire, consumed by fire, consumed by fire, consumed by fire. You serpentine power, your power is broken over our nations, over our cities, over our territories, over our countries, over our homes, over our bloodline, over our lineage, over our generation. In the name of Jesus, break by fire. Somebody shout amen. That was what God did. Let's take your seat for a moment. So God introduced Moses. And so when Moses left that conversation with God, when he held that rod, the principality of Egypt was in that rod. But the funny thing was this. The day they were supposed, he and Aaron went down to Pharaoh, God had told Moses, he said, when you go down to Pharaoh, when he asks you, what is the source of your power? Show me, demonstrate your power. He said, don't drop your own rod. He said, tell Aaron to drop his rod. In fact, many times, many people misunderstand. Give me Exodus chapter 4, verse 3 to 4, if you can, please. Now go down to Exodus 7. Go down to Exodus 7, please. 7, beginning from verse 9, and then jump to verse 11. For 7, chapter 7, beginning from verse 9, and then we go down to verse 11. When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto who? Aaron, take thy rod, cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Now, God has a strategic reason why he did not tell Moses to drop his own rod. That was a superior rod that dealt with superior matters. So God was saying, Moses, your rod will deal with superior matters, principalities. But now it's Aaron's rod that will deal with the less. Are you coming along with me? Go to verse 11. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men. Okay, let's see the picture. So Moses told Aaron, drop your rod and let Pharaoh see. And so Aaron dropped his rod, and suddenly it became a serpent. And when that rod became a serpent, that tells you, those of you that are listening, when you're under a grace of a servant of God, whether you are a member or a minister, when you're under the grace of a servant of God, the moment God puts a grace and unction upon him, all those who are connected to him carry the grace and the unction. Aaron was not there when God gave the power to Moses. He was not there. But because his rod was empowered and Aaron is walking, his rod also, God did not need now to come and say, Aaron, your rod should become serpent. The rod of Aaron, I pray for those of you that are serving under this man of God, Bishop Mike Zeno, that as his rod is sharp, as his rod is causing problems for the kingdom of darkness, may your rods be empowered. May your rods be sharp. May your rods become two-edged swords. May your rod bring down strongholds. May your rod cut down witches and wizards. In the name of Jesus, I use this opportunity to pray for my sons and daughters in the faith who are connected to my grace, that even as the Lord has given me a rod to deal with the powers of darkness, may they be empowered. Let their rod be empowered. Wherever they go, let them bring down stronghold. Let them loose the fire of God. Let them cause the enemy to bow their head in shame. Come on, somebody say amen. So now, Aaron dropped his rod and it became a serpent. And Pharaoh said, big deal. I thought you could do better, Moses. Is this a big... All my magicians, my astrologers, come out, come out. He clapped his hand, pap, 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 and see them coming out. Now, listen carefully. When they came out, they all came with rods. So do not underestimate the enemy. He also has power. The only thing is that all of his power is subject to the power of God Almighty. Somebody say amen. So each of these magicians began to drop their swords. and their rods, and all of them became serpents. So in the twinkle of an eye, that court of the Pharaoh was filled with green serpents, brown serpents, black serpents, yellow serpents running up and down. I want you to see, Moses must have been shocked because God never said a word to him that this will happen. And in his heart, he was saying, God has disappointed me. Look at what is happening. I think if I were Moses, I feel like I'm, let me put myself in Moses right now. He might have been watching for the closest window. He will look at the serpents and he will watch him for the closest window to take off. But suddenly, while he was looking for a place and he was arguing in the spirit and saying, this is too much for me. Suddenly, ladies and gentlemen, he had a sound, gaboom. And they looked back. He realized that the son of Aaron had begun to swallow all the rods of the serpents of the magician. And he looked back. And you know what happened? A smile came upon his face. He said, yes, God, let me use this opportunity to prophesy to somebody under the sound of my voice. You may have been troubled by what is going around you. It may look like God is about to disappoint you. It may look like the devil is acting big and bad. It may look like the enemy is having victory. You are confused. You are intimidated. You are feeling bad. But I want to let you know, in a moment from now, by reason of this spiritual warfare conference that you are part of, I hereby declare to you, in a moment from now, very soon, you will see the hand of God. You will see the hand of God. You will see the manifestation of the power of God. God is going to come through for you. Somebody say, I hear you. Shadabaya. Laboshete lemoko soprande. Rebakos amakoteriandos. Zigabakuti limandos keria. And so guess what? And Moses began to look until each of these rods of the magicians and the astrologers were swallowed. Now, let me help you so you understand how God is operating. Now, in every country, the main demon representing Satan is the principality. And that's what God allowed Moses rod to swallow. But all these other guys, they were territorial powers, rulers of various territories. So those serpents that they dropped were territorial spirits who were in charge of different areas in Egypt. So on that day, God allowed the rod of Aaron to begin to swallow the various territories. For instance, if it is in Canada, it means one of the rods belonged to that in Winnipeg. It was swallowed. Another rod belonged to Quebec, and it was swallowed. Another rod in Manitoba, it was swallowed in the various areas. If it is my nation, Sierra Leone, it means in Freetown, the territorial power was swallowed. In Kenema, the territorial powers were swallowed by those rods. So now guess what? In the rod of Moses was the principality. In the rod of Aaron was the territorial princes. So if after that day, when Moses and Aaron are walking, they are walking with both the principality and all the territorial powers. Somebody say amen. Listen to me. That territory where God has planted you, may the serpent of Jehovah swallow the territorial powers in that territory, in the name of Jesus. That territorial prince, that territorial spirit that have resisted you before, I hereby decree and declare, in this year 2021, they shall resist you no more. They shall resist you no more. The blood of Jesus is against them. The fire of God is against them. The sword of Jehovah is against them. I release a prophetic judgment as the rod of Aaron swallowed the rod of all the territorial powers. So let it be. May your rod of Jesus swallow all the rods. Kadabusa katariba kasaya. It is done. Somebody say amen. Shout amen. Let me pray for some missionaries. You are a missionary and you have been sent by God to a particular territory, and you are in that territory. and the territorial powers, the territorial prince, just like Pharaoh wanted to do to Moses, have arisen to resist. They have arisen to fight, to intimidate. I speak as God's servant, as an oracle of God. You territorial powers resisting the servants of God, you territorial prince resisting the missionary located in that particular territory, I release the hand of God. I release the fire of God. I release the thunder of God. Destroy them now. Consume them by fire. Destroy them now. Consume them by fire. Destroy them now. Consume them by fire. Let somebody shout amen. Please take your seats. And listen carefully. If anyone thinks, maybe, you know, some people are so skeptical when they deal with the word. So skeptical and so critical. They may want to say, that was an Old Testament event. You can't take it. We are now in the New Testament. Don't apply an Old Testament issue to a New Testament. Can I invite you to come with me to the New Testament? Luke chapter 10, verse 19, please. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Now see what the Bible says. Jesus is now speaking. Before he sent the disciples to go out. Now you cannot be more religious or wiser than Jesus. Before he sent the disciples to go out, what did he say? Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon what? Before he named the others scorpions. He said, I give unto you power to tread on serpent. Do you know why? Because even Jesus understood that serpentine spirits are one of the most terrible spirits that work to resist the kingdom of God, because Satan has that enmity in his heart for the curse that God gave to him. Mm-hmm. So, if you look at the statement of Christ, it has some implications. He said, I give unto you power to tread on what? Serpents. Before he named the scorpion and then the rest of the power. So, which means in the mind of Christ, he moved by from the most significance to the less significant. It started with serpents. So if you look at the scripture, it is saying the main one that Christ gave them power against, the first one that he knows they need the power against, was who? The serpent. So if Jesus understood that his disciples were not going to succeed, if they could not deal with serpentine spirit, who are you? Who are you? Kadondos Kerabaya. And let me tell you something. Serpents can disguise. Serpents sometimes can be changed to belt. It can be changed to thread. It can be changed to ropes. There are people that have testified that what I saw was a rope. And the next thing as I crossed it, it just bit me and disappeared. Because the devil has allowed, these are spirits. They can be disguised. Can I pray with you? Because I may not have chance to do the prayer after the teaching. So let me pray with you right now while I'm under this grace and unction. Say in the name of Jesus, every disguised serpent on assignment to intimidate, to manipulate my life and destiny, die in the name of Jesus. Say in the name of Jesus, every serpent messenger, every serpent messenger targeting lives, targeting destinies, be destroyed by fire. Be destroyed by fire. Be destroyed by fire. Let them be destroyed by the hand of God, by the fire of God, by thunder, by lightning. Let them be destroyed. We release the fire of God. I release the sword of angel Michael. Cut off their heads. Pluck out their eyes. Consuming fire. Fire them. Consuming fire. Fire them. In the mighty name of Jesus. Saints of God, I want to bring this spiritual warfare conference teaching tonight to the end. And let me conclude with this so you understand. When I talk about serpentine spirit, we're not just building some stories. Take me to Acts chapter 28. And I want to look at verse 1 to verse 3. Acts chapter 28. It says, and when... Now this passage was referring to the issue of Paul referring his case to Rome. And when, before they departed, they entered the ship, he didn't want to go, but they did not listen to him. And when they got into the ship, a Euroclydon, one of the most terrible tornadoes, went against the ship and scattered it into pieces. But God had spoken by an angel to Paul that none of these men will die because you are there. And ladies and gentlemen, let me use this to prophesy. No matter what COVID-19 is doing, because you carry the anointing of God, because you carry the grace of God, because you carry the hand of God, no matter what is happening, you will not be consumed. You will not be infected. Say amen, somebody. Go to verse 2. So now the Bible says in Acts chapter 28, it said they escaped into an island called Malta. In verse 2, it says, and the barbarians showed us no little kindness, for they kindled the fire, and they received us everyone because of the present rain and because of cold. So when they got to that town, the people looked at them and knew they came from the sea, and they made fire for them. Look at verse 3, please. Verse 3. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, he laid them on the fire, and what came out? A viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Please understand. Sit down and follow me. Understand what had happened. Paul had become a trouble to the kingdom of darkness. He has troubled the kingdom of darkness too much. So when they heard that he was about to travel by sea unto Rome from Jerusalem, the powers of darkness, the marine kingdom, the water spirits in the water kingdom, held a meeting and said, we must finish this man. This man must not cross over. And so they came with a terrible wind called the Euroclydon. And they messed up that boat. And they wanted the man to die, to their shock and their surprise, for the water kingdom, the marine kingdom. The man did not die. And they ended up in this island called Malta. So when they got to Malta, a quick meeting was held by the kingdom of darkness, including the water spirit, the occult kingdom, the serpentine kingdom. And they said, this man has escaped. Where is he? He has gone to the land of Malta. And quickly they assigned a serpent. They said, you must finish him there. And so, you know, when you're a leader, you're a leader. The people were the one who made the fire. But the leadership instinct in the apostle, when he saw that the fire was going down, decided to go and gather some sticks. Nobody commanded him. And not knowing they were waiting for him, he brought the sticks and he put the sticks on the fire. And suddenly, with that crowd of men, over 40 men, the ship captain, the other prisoners that were, they all were around the fire. That serpent was intelligent. It came from the fire. Did not bite the captain. Did not bite the crew. Did not go to the other prisoners. It came to Paul. And guess what the Bible says? And it fastened on his hand. May I remind you that that hand that he fastened is the hand that wrote 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Is the hand that wrote Philippians and Galatians. Is the hand that wrote 1st Timothy and 2nd Timothy. So if the devil had succeeded in mesmerizing and paralyzing that hand, we will have no pastoral letter called Timothy and Titus today. If the devil, through the serpent, had messed up with that hand, we will have no 1st Corinthians or 2nd Corinthians. So the intelligent serpent stuck upon the man's hand. And guess what? It was such a poisonous serpent that the people in the entire nation, they said, this man, he has bad luck. He did not die in the sea. And now he has come to land. The man has a curse. That is why he's dead. And they were waiting for him to die. Like somebody is waiting to see your downfall. Like somebody is waiting to see your disfavor. Like somebody is waiting to see things don't work for you. But I prophesy they will never see that day. That day will never come. And while they were waiting for Paul to fall down and die. Paul stood there, was looking them eyeball to eyeball. And suddenly, before their very eyes, he lifted his hand. He hung his hand over the fire. And he burned the snake by fire. Hey, Katalabakosara, serpentine serpentine powers consumed by fire. Serpentine powers working against their destinies, working against their families, working against their progress, consumed by fire, consumed by fire, consumed by fire. In the name of Jesus, by the same token of the fire that consumed that terrible serpent, let the fire of God, let the consuming fire of God begin to locate and pursue every serpentine power that has been pursuing you in life, pursuing your children, pursuing your family. Let them consume by fire. Somebody shall consume by fire. Listen, in my closing, let me say this. Then I will pray for you. The serpent, number one, it bites. A serpent bites. There are men and women who have been beaten by serpents. So you have, they are suffering from sicknesses. They are suffering from pains. They are suffering from all kinds of maladies. Every one of you under the sound of my voice that have been beaten by some serpent, let the hand of God destroy you in the name of Jesus. Serpent, die. In the name of Jesus. I release the blood of Jesus into your body and I kill every serpent in the name of Jesus. Number two, not only does a serpent bite, a serpent entangles. It entangles around. I think it's the boa constrictor. The boa constrictor doesn't bite, but he strangulates. He strangles the man until life goes out. I sense in my spirit to some of you in the Glory and Peace Church, and those of you that are under the sound of my voice, you may have been strangulated by the power of the devil. You know, when you are strangulated, money that is supposed to come does not come. Things that are supposed to happen for you does not happen because you are strangulated. Your life is gradually ebbing out in the name of Jesus. Every serpentine power that has strangulated your life and your life is ebbing, I break their hold over your life by the hand of God, by the fire of God. I break their hold. I cancel their powers. I terminate their assignment in the name of Jesus. Lastly, not only does a serpent bite, not only does a serpent entangles or strangulates, a serpent poisons. A serpent poisons. I think it is in Psalm 58, verse 4. If media can help me with that scripture. It said, their poison is like the poison of a what? Serpent. A serpent poisons. As I speak to you, some of you, your homes have been poisoned. Your families have been poisoned. Your destiny helpers have been poisoned. Your divine connections have been poisoned. Your good relationships have been poisoned. So let us pray right now. I'm releasing the fire of God to dry up that poison in your family, to dry up that poison in your home, to dry up. Some churches have been poisoned. Members, the hearts of members have been poisoned. But we raise our hand as servants of God. Every serpentine power that have released poison to poison your home, to poison your family, to poison your ministry, to poison your territory, to poison your life, to poison your future, in the name of Jesus, by the fire of God, I dry up their poison. Poison of the serpent, dry by fire. Poison of the serpent, dry by fire. Poison of the serpent, dry by fire. Poison of the serpent, dry in the name of Jesus. I pray for the church of my brother, Glory and Peace Church in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. I pray for this church and I pray for his ministry. Every serpentine poison that have been released upon his members, upon those who are working with him, upon his ministers, we raise our voice unto the heavens as oracles of God, and I command that evil poison to be dry up. I neutralize the poison by the blood of Jesus. I neutralize their poison by the blood of Jesus and nullify the poison by the blood of Jesus. Somebody shout the blood of Jesus three times. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We bless your name. We honor you for what you have done in this spiritual warfare conference. Thank you for setting free men and women. Thank you for releasing chains, for breaking chains and releasing destinies. Thank you for letting them loose. Thank you, Lord, that from today, counting from today and 14 days, testimonies shall abound. Men shall be healed. Miracles shall be manifested. Lives shall be changed in the name of Jesus. Doors that have been locked shall be open. Gates that have been closed shall be open. Heaven shall be open over their lives in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' mighty name, and the people of God say,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Bishop, over to you.
Oh, Bishop. What a word tonight. And what a transformation has taken place in the lives of those that have received the word that came from the mouth of God through your mouth to us. Regions are being transformed right now because of the word that came forth out of your mouth. You know, I was joking when I chatted with you the other day, when I said, I think this spiritual warfare gathering might go longer. After I said it, we joked around, and the Lord kept on saying, this spiritual warfare conference is not just for 3 days. We've set it up for 3 days, and I'm wondering what was God trying to say, because I have another set of meetings coming up in another week called the Good God Conference. It was not until a moment ago the Lord spoke very clearly to me that the spiritual warfare conference was not just one conference, that we are supposed to have two spiritual warfare conferences this year. And I want to place that invitation to you right now. I'm putting you on the spot because I'm going to be making another call.
In the name of Jesus, so shall it be.
Amen. Amen. You know, the word that you've given to us today is so powerful. You know, in Acts, I'm going to ask you some questions in a moment, and then I'm going to continue with the saints. In Acts chapter 16, the 16th verse, the Bible tells us about this young lady that was speaking with a spirit of divination.
Divination, which was a python spirit.
A python spirit. The python spirit. So even cloaked in that particular passage, even though it just says the spirit of divination, the word divination there was the python spirit. And today I believe that that spirit of the enemy is wiped out. Destroyed, because the power of God has been released already through the words that have come forth out of your mouth, through this ministration right this very moment. Satanic forces are being scattered, and men and women are stepping into their destiny. Those lying spirits cannot operate anymore. We give God praise. Hallelujah. Your mic is down. I can't hear you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen.
Wow. 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 Well, I have some questions for you.
Please go ahead.
I'm going to repeat the question I asked the last time, because I think it's a question that has so many facets to it. I asked you, I said, what mistakes have you seen people make when they are doing spiritual warfare that needs to be corrected? And you gave us an excellent answer the last time, but I know there are many more answers to that, and I want to present that question to you again.
Ask it again.
So what mistakes have you seen believers, soldiers of the Lord make when they are doing spiritual warfare that's cost them their victory.
Okay. You know, it is called spiritual warfare.
Yes.
That's what it's called. That even though we are physical, you know, Paul made the statement. He said, we are in the flesh, but we do not battle in the flesh.
That's right.
And so, if there is a physical battle and there is a spiritual battle, the spiritual battle takes preeminence over the physical battle. So the spiritual battle is superior to the physical battle. But for us to be able to be successful, one of the reasons why many soldiers fail in the spiritual warfare, because they tend to remain too much in the carnal realm, in the physical realm. They stay in the intellectual realm. They just look at things from the natural capacity. It is spiritual warfare. It is not intellectual warfare. It's not emotional warfare. It's not physical warfare. It's not academic warfare. It is spiritual warfare, which means you've got to learn how to attune to the spirit once you enter into deal with spiritual warfare. And that's where many fail. They want to still remain in their carnal realm, in their intellectual realm, and fight. It doesn't work that way.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What an answer. What an answer. And let me just add one more to that answer. And tomorrow we continue with another man of God. And I'm going to ask him similar questions. One of the things I found out is that, just like you said, people do not understand that it is spiritual warfare and they fight from a carnal perspective. Your positioning is so important when you're doing spiritual warfare. Are you doing spiritual warfare in the earth realm, or are you doing it from the heavenlies? If you are doing it even in the second heavens and operating there, then you are entangling the enemy in his territory, and he knows his territory more than you do. You've got to go into the heavenlies, the third heavens, where you are seated in heavenly places, far above all principalities, all powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world, and fight from that perspective and defeat the enemy in his territory, because you are superseding him, you're overriding him. You cannot
100% correct
hand-to-hand combat with the enemy. He'll win. But you've got to move from a different dimension. And child of God, we have received such a powerful word from Bishop Cole tonight that I want you to please listen to these messages over and over and over again until you become one with the word that you've received, so that you are not deceived by the enemy, because the serpentine spirit is a spirit that deceives. It deceives. And that's the greatest challenge that we have in our world today. Deception. Deception. And so we must have the spirit of discernment if we are going to win battles. We have to be discerning. We have to be wiser than the wise serpent.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah. Absolutely. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, amen. Well,
I just want to let you know that we really appreciate you.
It's a pleasure.
And I'm looking forward to Spiritual Warfare Part 2.
No problem. No problem. By the grace of God.
Hallelujah. I'm going to continue with the saints now. And
okay, please go ahead.
Them. And so everybody still stay online as I continue with what we have started with. And we're going to pray some more. And we are going to have the breakthrough that God has promised every one of us. Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. Bless you, man of God. Please continue. We'll continue to pray for each other.
Thank God for his word this evening. Just revisiting that particular message. was such a powerful experience tonight. And I do believe that you received that word and that the power of God is shoring you up, establishing you in knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that victory is yours. The deceiver is defeated. God has established his victory in your life tonight. That serpentine spirit, false as it is, cannot deceive you. I pray tonight that the grace for supernatural discernment will be released into everyone's life tonight, that you will be equipped beyond measure to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is for you. The serpent came out of the heat, wrapped itself around Paul's hand in the island of Melita. The word Melita means honey. The enemy comes into that place where sweetness needs to come into your life just to disrupt things in your life. But today, I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that the ability of God is established within you, that you will shake off that nonsense off of your life, back into that fire, and it shall be consumed, and you will reap the harvest of sweetness in your life, the sweetness of the goodness of God. Breakthroughs are in this place for you today. I do believe that God has great things in store for you. That spirit of the enemy that's trying to stop you from receiving the fulfillment of the promise of God for your life. God spoke very early to Paul that he, Paul, was going to speak in Rome, was going to be present before the emperor. And that enemy was doing everything he could to stop him from getting there. The devil's a liar. You will arrive at your destination because you are a child of destiny. Nothing that the enemy has been planning to do is going to succeed against you. You will not fail. You will succeed because the hand of God is upon your life. And we knock that enemy down in spiritual warfare one. But the finishing blow is going to be unleashed on the powers of darkness in spiritual warfare too. I want you to take note of those dates, the 21st through the 23rd, and be ready for a miracle. For the miraculous to flow richly upon every area of your life. The God of the breakthrough is doing something new. And he is for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? There is no defeat assigned to you. That's right. Only victory. The victory of the Lord. He empowers you to succeed, and his power is released into your life today. Father God, do for your children today extraordinary things. Let every son, every daughter listening to my voice right now begin to tap into the realm of the invisible and see a manifestation of your perfect will in their lives. I speak your blessing upon each one. I declare by the authority of your word that every satanic agenda is brought to naught in the mighty name of Jesus. That those that have been discouraged will receive the encouragement that comes from your very heart. Receive the courage of the living God. Receive the peace of God which passes all understanding. Let the grace of God abound towards you. And may the God who lifts up, lift you up higher and higher. It is your moment. It is your season to experience God in a way that you've not experienced him before. I know something good is happening to you right now. Blessed be the name of the living God. I thank God for this opportunity that you and I can share together tonight, receiving the word of God. Right this very moment, I want to encourage you to give unto the Lord an offering, an expression of thanksgiving. Because I am certain of this very moment, that you don't need to wait till July the 21st to the 23rd for your breakthrough, because it's already done. You can begin to move into that realm of the supernatural and begin now to express your thanksgiving to God in your giving. As you honor God with your giving, I declare that the windows of heaven be open over your life, over your family, over your business, over the place where your income is coming, that favor will rest upon you, that God will open your eyes to new opportunities, to new investments, to new things, that a God of favor will favor you and honor you with his presence. You see, because a dime with God's hand on it can accomplish more than $1 million without God in it. The little that you have, place in the hands of God, like the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, will feed the multitude. And you will go home with more than you gave, even after everybody's been fed. Isn't that incredible? That God is not limited. God does not operate it with the mathematics, the arithmetic, the calculus of man. Yes. Tap into God's economics. Tap into that. And you will be surprised day by day at what God does. He's for you. Be for him. He says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. So honor God which I've given today. The information is on the screen. And once again, if we may, I'd like to play the video, promotional video for the next conference coming up, Spiritual Warfare 2. And next caption to that is that it's raining. God wants to rain favor upon your life. God wants to rain upon the drought that you may be experiencing in areas of your life. God is going to cause the earth to yield its increase to you. I command by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that the earth yield its increase, that your business yield its increase, that the place of your employment yield its increase. In fact, somebody's listening to me right now. I believe it's going to be this week. You're going to hear from your company something that is not expected. You're about to get a bonus at a time when they don't give bonuses. You are going to be set aside for honor. Receive it right now in Jesus' mighty name. I'd like to hear your testimony about this surprise that's come your way. Blessed be the name of the living God. Let's listen to the promo and I'll close in prayer in just a moment. Well, looks like we have the promo sheet, but not the video. Do we have the video? Okay. We just, anyhow, you have that information. There's some things happening in-house that I guess they make it possible for us to play the video today. But this Wednesday is our Leadership Wednesday. And this Friday is also our Leadership Friday. So those of you who are in leadership will be having our time together. And those of you that are not part of leadership, I suppose you'll be having a particular video played. And so be online and experience what you need to experience for this Wednesday and this Friday. And those that are in leadership, you have your own line to come to. We'll bless you all in the name of the Lord. Enjoy the goodness of God. May this week be filled with experiences that dazzle you in a good way. Dazzle you in such a way that you say, wow, I didn't think it was going to be this good. God is so good. He has surprised me day after day. May you be surprised with the goodness of God. And may his peace garrison your heart. Rejoice in the Lord and be blessed by his goodness. Say goodbye to you, those who are on YouTube and Facebook Live and other platforms. And I will just spend a quick moment with those who I logged in on Zoom. God bless you all. See you next time. God bless. Love you. Bye-bye.